is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran.
And I think I love Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Hey, it's Panda. And I think I like Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
Hi, it's Dan. And I think I despise Signed, Sealed, Delivered. And this is the
Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Panda, you said signed, sealed, and delivered.
I know. I've been saying it the whole time.
Did you watch the right show?
I don't think I did.
It was the knockoff called signed, sealed, and delivered.
It was wild.
I got it, Clad.
It's celebrity pizza.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
What are you doing at my doorstep?
Not much. What are you doing?
You knocked on my door.
Do you have something for me?
I have nothing for you.
I have a pizza.
For me?
Yeah.
I didn't order any delivery.
I ordered a pizza.
You're delivering it here?
Yeah, I ordered a pizza.
Is it signed right there?
All you gotta do is give to a place called Avenues. Avenues is an up-and-coming delivery establishment that I think is going to take off.
Is it connected to Amway? Because I've been fooled before.
No, it is different. Take my word for it. But if you can tell a couple people, that'd be legit.
I see that it's sealed here. Is that a problem?
Deliver this to your mom. She's going to like it.
You're a different person. Who are you?
My name's Cletus.
And I loved that. That was signed, sealed. That's not what we were.
It was signed, sealed, and delivered.
That's not what I was supposed to watch.
No. Well, there was a clear direction, though, in that.
Yeah.
You won't be confused at all here.
No.
Boy.
Okay. But people have been asking us to do signed, sealed, delivered for years now,
yes,
literally. And it was a new signed, sealed, delivered movie after quite a break in October. And we decided, let's hold off on it because we want to do it justice. We don't want to have a win calls the heart situation on our hands.
Yeah.
And so we decided we're going to watch them all. And so we've got a handful of movies, handful of episodes, and we're very excited about it.
Can I be honest, on this side of things, like even before watching the first episode, the big difference between this and Win Calls the Heart is Win Calls the Heart fans just will tell you exactly how they feel all the time. Like they just like, when they hate stuff, like they just go nuts. Yeah. They're called hurties at that point. With Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I feel like no one ever doesn't like one of them. Like everyone I talk to is always like, well, they're all great. And so I'm a little concerned just in that regard. Whereas with the Hardys, it's a little bit more like, these people take this seriously, but
the Hardys are always mad.
Yeah.
They're always mad. And the postables are like, hey, here's some male lovers.
What?
Those are the people. They call people lovers.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is interesting. So very excited about it, guys. Signed, Sealed, Delivered, a Hallmark show, movie series, that prior to doing the show, I had no idea about.
Yep.
And in fact, I think it took us a year to even figure out what a postable was.
I was asking what a postable is for all of 2018, and I'm pretty sure most of 2019.
Yeah, we had no idea. We had no idea. And so here we are now.
We thought it had something to do with Postmates.
Yep.
But it did not.
Yep.
I think that was the first explanation you gave me.
Yeah.
Is it had something to do with Postmates.
Postmates.
Which is not true at all.
It's just people. It was a group of people who were just big fans.
They love Post-its.
They're just loving it. They're just loving Post-its.
Well, Postables were here. I know you've been waiting with bated breath for us to show up and review
your beloved
television show.
Yeah.
We are here. Are you guys ready to dive into it?
Always a lose-lose proposition. Let's do it.
It starts with a movie, a big old two-hour pilot.
Yeah.
And then we start the series, and then
back to movies.
That's exactly right. This first one, according to Wikipedia, this one's called Second Chances, but I don't... Okay. I mean, they didn't say that anywhere, so I don't know. It originally aired on October 12th, 2013. We didn't sell that year?
2013?
We didn't sell that year.
That's pretty far back in the archives.
Yeah. And it went a little something. 2013? Hello?
Sorry, I'm a little shy. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to come out of my shell. I love the year 2013, though. I'd take a bullet for it.
You take
I just am nervous about talking into this microphone.
What's your name?
Teeter.
Teeter. Your name's Teeter?
Just Teeter. Teeter Totter.
Hold on a second. Time out.
Your first name's Teeter, last name's Totter?
Teeter Totter. The third.
There's three of you?
Yeah. My daddy and my granddaddy.
Did he have a son?
Yeah, a little Teeter.
Yeah, a little Teeter.
Yeah.
Teeter Totter the fourth?
Yeah.
Has he had a son?
No.
No.
I mean, look at me.
I don't know what that means, Teeter.
I've said too much about 2013.
Yeah, Teeter, I gotta be honest. I think that's the end of you. Yeah, next week's 2014. Man.
That is a shame. That is a crying
man.
Shame.
Are you kidding me?
That is
unfortunate. That's the only 2013? I mean, Teeter gets... Teeter got off easy. Jeez.
Just look at me. October 12th, 2013. What else sounded like
sassy
that?
Sassy for a guy that is.
Man.
Shy. Just look at me.
So this starts off with a girl who gets out of a taxi. The taxi driver's like, man, thanks for sharing that story. That was quite a doozy. And he tells her, make sure you mail this letter. And she says, you mind doing it for me? I got stuff to do. And
and there was when we had our first problem.
And he drops it. Uh-oh. And then this little kid this picks it.
Most important letter of my life. Can we mail it?
This little kid picks it up and attaches it to balloons and lets it fly into the sky. Fast forward 1 year, we meet a guy named Oliver who wears a suit and takes mail very seriously.
As you should.
He is the head of a team that tries to find the final destination for letters that get lost. And the envelopes, they're often messy. They're often ripped. Kind of like us as people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tattered and torn.
Mm.
But there's some good in there.
Absolutely. Teeter?
Yeah. I said I was loud and I meant it.
Do you like this show?
What show?
Sons of Delivered.
Well, it's okay. It's kind of a knockoff, Touched by an Angel, which is my favorite. That's the first time I've ever sung in public.
That was beautiful. Yeah,
good one.
They open the letters and they...
For good this time, though. Don't ask me again.
Okay.
I'll slam the door.
They open the letters and they... They open the letters and they read just enough.
You'll ever hear me.
Teeter, get out of here.
I was robbed.
Teeter, go.
I was robbed.
Teeter, go.
They charged me $50K for 1 year, one movie.
We might come back to a 2013 movie, Teeter.
We don't even do the Christmas classics anymore. Tracy just sold me a bill of goodies. I'm here holding a check.
Teeter, I got to get to this. The people are going to get mad if we keep doing this.
I'm mad right now.
I understand. Just look at you. Just look at you. So they open the letters and they read just
enough. I'm with Teeter on this one. I've thought about it. I'm with Teeter.
I am too.
Yeah.
Teeter, we'll get you your money back. Well,
thank you. Well, you kindly.
Yeah. So they open the letters and they read just enough to try to figure out who the letters are supposed to go to. And then they put it and they send it off. There's a new girl named Shane, and she got transferred to Oliver's post office and like division accidentally. She has to stay there apparently for 6 months before she can go to her proper assignment. And she finds Oliver and the entire team to be completely ridiculous and prehistoric. No computers, no internet. What are you doing? She likes computers like a monster. Oliver starts to read one letter though, and that really gets her attention. It's the envelope from the beginning, and it's a letter from a girl telling someone that she loves that she had to leave because she couldn't let him watch her die. We get a flashback of these two people meeting. They're meeting on an elevator. Her name's Kelly. His name's Charlie. And she kind of gives him a little, hey, you should stand up to your boss type of thing. And he does. He quits, and they end up spending the day together, apparently. Oliver stops reading the letter when he finds out the name of the company that he quit from. They find out they're able to figure out who it's supposed to go to. Easy peasy. That's enough info. Stop reading. But Shane isn't having it. She's invested. She tries to take the letter home, but Oliver catches her. Luckily for her, the lead was a dead end, so they have to keep reading the letter. So Kelly and Charlie agree to spend one truly free day together. No last names, no worries of what you can and can't say, except we don't want any real information that can help each other figure out who we really are. Truly free day. So Kelly mentions a bike stand in the park. So they decide to go and try to find that bike stand. Maybe they can talk to the owner of that stand, but it's no longer sold by people. It's just automation, like monsters. Post office people don't like automation, but they follow the path that's kind of laid out by the letter as Kelly recaps it, and they have this amazing day that they spend together, and Charlie ends up losing his wallet at one point, tells Kelly that she's the girl of his dreams, they kiss, and he makes her swing so high and says, hey, look at that, that's where I live. It's cool. So Shane makes Oliver swing her so high that she can see the blue gate now they know where Charlie lives. Kelly says, I'm going to do everything I can to get better. Meet me back on the bridge in 1 year. And if I'm not there, you'll know kind of what happened. So a year is going to be in 3 days. They got 3 days to figure this out. So they have to find Charlie. They go to write down the address of the blue fence door, and Shane wants to just go knock on the door, but Oliver's like, listen, we have to follow procedure. Shane is like, there's 3 days, you can't mail it, but he's like, listen, it's protocol, you gotta trust the USPS. The USPS would never make things last longer than they should. So Shane shows up to make sure that it actually gets delivered. And it does get delivered, but then a neighbor takes it. And so she goes to talk to the neighbor, and the neighbor informs her that Charlie is in jail. So Shane Googles Charlie's name and finds out that he murdered a guy who won the lottery. What? They found him because he left his wallet at the scene of the crime. Charlie, he was missing a wallet. What? They realize that Kelly's letter is an alibi since the murder happened on the day that he was with Kelly. So they realize they have to find Kelly so that they can prove it with the pictures that she was taking on that day. So they go to talk to Charlie and ask Charlie if he knows anything about Kelly. And he remembers the floor that she was getting off on that building. And they look it up, and apparently it was a clinic for some experimental treatment. And it appears that nobody in that trial survived the treatment. The bad news just keeps coming when Oliver's boss informs them that they're shutting down the dead letter division.
Oh, my gosh.
The gang goes out for drinks, and Oliver opens up to Shane about himself and how his wife left him, and she opens up about her dad and how he was just never around and only sent letters on the birthday instead of showing up. And when Oliver says that life is short, Shane remembers that Kelly wrote that in her letter. So she Googles life is short with Kelly's name and finds a special blog that she did not get an actual domain for. And it's a blog full of the pictures that prove that Charlie is innocent. And there are also pictures of the guy who ran into Charlie. Apparently, it looks a little bit like Charlie. They figure out that the murdered guy's relative,
that's better.
Looks like Charlie. So he must have taken Charlie's wallet. Must have been the guy that bumped into him. So Charlie gets out of jail and decides, I'm going to go to the bridge anyway. All of a sudden, Kelly rides up on a bike. She's alive. She didn't do the program. She went to Boston, and her parents found an amazing doctor. Kelly and Charlie kiss big ones.
Caught a break there.
And the breaks keep coming because the newspaper writes a story about how amazing the division is, and they're going to keep it and hopefully get more movies and episodes. And that, my friends, was Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
I'm yours.
Second chances. First love. We did it.
We did it, everybody. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this down here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. Postables, listen up. We're here. We're talking about Signed, Sealed, Delivered, the first movie.
Now, is there a podcast called Deliver Me a Podcast on the Hallmarkies Network that already does this? Yes, there is.
Oh, really?
Will they gush about Signed, Sealed, Delivered, start to finish? Yes. Just know your options. Just know them right now.
You've been warned.
You've been warned.
Well, let's talk about
it. Okay.
Panda, We're going to start with the hot take, as we do with every episode. I'm going to start with you. What did you think of your first experience with signed, sealed, delivered?
I loved it. Absolutely freaking love the premise of the show. I love the execution of the show. The characters are quirky. The plot is fascinating. I was locked in the whole time. I have so many wait what's when it comes to the actual relationship and this what they're doing. It's wild. But guys, I am in for more of this. I could not be more in. It is a blast. I laughed out loud multiple times. I thought the dialogue was quick and witty, and it shows me that Hallmark is really capable. Well, at least based off of the first one. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. I'm getting ready to overstep my bounds. I was about to say, it shows me that they're capable of doing a long-running show that can be truly engaging, but I haven't seen anything other than this. But based off of this, what a promising start. I loved it. Could not be a bigger fan of what I saw today. I'm looking forward to our next one. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. I could not believe.
Are you going to tell us in the feels section where you cried? Because I'm very curious.
I didn't cry.
You were like this watching it when you, the picture on the Facebook.
Yeah, I was locked in.
You were crying.
No.
Like you were crying.
I was locked in.
You were locked in.
I was locked in.
Got it.
100% locked in. No, I didn't cry.
Okay.
But I did love it very much. This is, I couldn't believe that it was something that Hallmark created. And I mean that sincerely.
In the best way.
Yeah. It didn't feel like it. It felt like just something that was like real TV. Like it
was great.
The characters all had stuff. I loved it. It all mattered. And it was probably the best thing I've seen in a long time. I've seen in a long time.
Better than all the Christmas movies you watched weeks ago.
This is better than the best. This is probably the best thing I've ever seen on the Hallmark Channel.
You think it's better than like Unexpected Christmas?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I think that this is probably the best thing I've ever seen on the Hallmark Channel.
Wow.
I saw what I said.
There.
Where are you at, Panda?
Yeah.
I love Christmas, and so I'm always gonna probably like go back to Hallmark Christmas. But as far as like a premise and characters and keeping me engaged for an hour and 26 minutes, it's the best thing I think I've ever seen on Hallmark Channel.
Wow.
I absolutely loved it.
I did not expect that level of price.
I said what I said.
From one that even the postables would say or isn't their favorite.
People don't love this one?
They say it's not one of the better ones.
Wow.
At least that just
Me up then. I'm
just really, take my letters.
Maybe it's just the
stamp
premise
them.
Of it. The characters are so much more interesting. I will say, I think what helps this is that they are writing clearly with the premise of this is going to have multiple things. So they allow the characters can have more depth. I think Unexpected Christmas and some of the Christmas movies, they can't do that because this is a one and done.
You're saying you like, I mean, like, of course they can. It's a one and done movie, but
let's compare this.
But I'm saying that's what makes this such a compelling piece of
but
media.
We've only got one other show to compare it to. That's Wind Calls the Heart.
And
which
it is
just a
light years.
Oh gosh.
I can't fathom people liking One Calls the Heart more than this.
Yeah.
I can't.
No,
yeah,
it is fat. I cannot. I'm right up there with you, Brand. I haven't really thought of it in those terms. I wasn't thinking about that, but you know, I'm trying to think of the last time I was like literally leaning forward going, what's going to happen?
That never happens in Hallmark. If that's the measuring stick, then yes, because this,
but that's what Brand's saying. He's saying this is the best
favorite thing.
It is my favorite thing,
but
it's all
qualified it later. He says the best thing I've ever seen on Hallmark Channel, which I'm trying to think of something that's better at the moment.
I don't think anything with the number of contrivances this has in it can be best. If you want to say favorite because you were on your edge of your seat, then I'm fine with that. But like, I did not expect that.
That's
bold.
All right, go ahead, Dan.
Listen, guys, I've done my best here. Because I know that there's a lot of people that for some reason are really, really wanting to hear what I have to say on this. And I will do a good news, bad news for you as best I know how. The good news is I do think the Oliver and Shane characters are worth watching this for. I think that Eric Mabius and Kristen Booth both do a really good job, and I would like to see more of those two characters. And I think that this premise lends itself to, when the story is right, it being something that could really hit a home run. The bad news is that I did not feel that way about this episode particularly. I thought the story was very contrived. I thought it was meant to give us a big speech at the end that it never deserved and never earned. I thought it was ridiculous that the girl was still alive. And I thought everything else about it just was quirky for quirk's sake. And so I am here for this idea. I'm here for the, I love the idea of a dead letters department. I think that's a fun idea. I think the two leads, more than capable. And you know what's wild is we saw at least one Eric Mabius movie, Welcome to Christmas. And I thought he was DOA bad. I thought he was terrible. He's really good in this show.
Yep.
I think the two leads, I'm willing to follow them into another episode for sure. The episode itself did not do it for me. Just didn't. Nothing about it did it. Wait, what's galore? And not in a fun way, in just a, this is ridiculous way. I just never bought into the rest of it. But I'm willing to try. I'm willing to try. You can get mad if you want. More than willing to try. From a standpoint of, but I say all that to say this, from a standpoint of watchability, yeah, because, I mean, the mystery was dumb. The guy who's inconspicuously running with sunglasses in the shade, of course he's a bad guy. That's dumb. Okay, that is dumb. It is, I literally said it out loud when it happened. Dumb, bad, okay? But the premise of the show, the randomness and actually being destiny, like that's fine. Like, I'm here for that. I think those two leads can carry that premise to some heartwarming moments. It just didn't work for me this time. It didn't work for me. Was it easier to lock into than the 36th Christmas movie of the year? Sure. Sure, absolutely it was. That didn't make it good. That didn't make it good television. I think those two things are different.
No, that's good television.
So that's where I am with it. Sorry, not sorry.
That was good television.
It's good television.
Get out of town. What was Welcome to Christmas?
The town is called Christmas. And remember, they had that whole, there's a light display at the end. The town called Christmas doesn't have a budget to celebrate Christmas.
No, I don't remember this movie at
all. It's ridiculous. It's in first year, 2018. I don't know who his co-star is, but I'm looking.
Who is, wait, so is he?
He comes into Christmas.
He comes into Christmas to do what?
Or he's in Christmas. The girl comes in, I think, to write something.
Okay.
Welcome to Christmas. I hope I'm right. Yeah. Jennifer Finnegan, all you Finn heads out there. I don't know who that is.
Dude, we need to see Finnegan again. Yeah. We haven't seen Finnegan again.
Resort developer, not resort. You can resort it later. Resort developer.
Oh, send it back to resort, everybody.
Madison Lane is tasked with finding a location for a new ski resort. While she's prepared to recommend the resort be placed in Mountain Park, her boss tells her, this is long, you want me to keep going or are you good?
Go to Christmas. And then she goes there.
To go to Christmas, Colorado, yeah, to consider the location and the incentive package they're offering. On her way into town, they meet the mayor, Madison, has a Meyer fender bender with the town's welcome sign. Town Sheriff Gage McBride, played by Mabius, gives Madison a ride
Gage?
Into town. Gage McBride, yeah.
Is that the only town movie we've seen him in?
I think so, yes. I probably like this. What's our book say on it?
It's a bad movie. That All movie right. was bad, and he was not good in it. But you know what? He's way better in this show. He's good in the show. So at least I can say that.
Dub to you. Welcome to Christmas.
Dub to you.
I said enjoyed it while I was watching, but the bow at the end is barely tied. Wow.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know if I'm trying to.
Yeah, that sounds like a metaphor.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You said liked it, but just like a veteran's Christmas, it's about a town holding someone hostage, and that's unsettling. And Dan said, really bad. None of it makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. That checks out.
I don't know if have we seen anything else from him or is that it? Man, that's wild. I'm looking at it. What's crazy is I'm looking at it and I wouldn't have even picked up that it's him.
The only reason I remembered is first season, I remember all of them. I think I don't quiz me on it, but I think I do. But then after that, it starts getting a little fuzzy.
I just would never have picked up that this guy is that guy from Science. The guy on my phone right now. That's the same guy?
That's the same guy.
Man, that's wild.
That is wild.
That's wild out there, man. Let's get to all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about what in this movie gave us feels.
Panda?
Yeah. How about the dance scene when they're there in the bar and they start dancing with one another, man? I like that scene. They have some good dialogue there, and man, just really good. And then, of course, obviously, she figures out the solution to the everything, and I don't understand how she was able to piece that together with the URL, but we'll get to that. But yeah, that dance scene
wasn't
great.
Even a URL. It's just she typed in those words.
Yeah, life is short,
life
Kelly.
Is short.
Her SEO is killing it.
Is crushing it, especially for having no domain at all. Yeah.
Well,
guys, I am.
She's dead, but that site's still running like a champ.
Yep. I'm here for Rita and Norman. I know we didn't get a ton of them in this episode, God, no. But man, I'm here for it. I didn't like
either one of those.
Oh, guys. I love them both very much. And I every time, like, they would just say some things and then he would be looking and it was great. I loved it. I'm here for it. He also had a great sweater on.
Great. Cardi B.
Great. Dan.
Good. Eric Mabius lends a lot of gravitas to what he says. And I think, all the stuff where they're trying to connect these two crazy kids who spend one day together, I thought was contrived and dumb. The speech he gives to Shane about the card she keeps in her pocket, that's what I'm here for. That's a wheelhouse speech right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is about hope and faith, and it's done in a way that doesn't, it is definitely like hokey, but in the best possible way. Mm. Like that speech, like that moment, I was like, what's the movie about? Because he just crushed that speech.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is like, these two kids, really? I don't know if they belong together. Like, it's like one day, I don't know. This is kind of bad. He's been framed for murder. He's that dumb. And then we all stop for this brief moment outside the prison. And he just gives just a great, like, so I mean, like, that was wonderful. Like, and in all honesty, scene kind of saved the movie for me. Like, before then, I'm like, good idea, terrible execution. And that scene happens, I'm like, okay, I'd watch these two again.
Terrible execution?
The plot of the what they're doing. Not the actual letter, the post office place. The actual plot. Anytime we go away from those four, snooze fest.
Man, I disagree. Don't
agree. Just snooze fest. Didn't Callie remember their names? Charlie and Joanne.
Kelly.
Whatever.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark.
We're back.
Hello, everybody.
Did you say it's a late boy into the mic?
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
That's fine, everyone to know. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about Signs Still Delivered, the first one, 2013.
Second Chances. You know the one.
Teeter?
Hello.
How do you think we were doing so far?
Let me talk into this microphone again.
How do you think we're doing so far?
50-50.
Okay. 50-50 what?
50-50. You get it.
I don't.
50-50.
Okay. Did you get the money? We Venmo'd you.
50.
We Venmo'd you.
Yes, I did get that money back, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Teeter 4 thanks you.
I thought you were Teeter 3.
And all of his children.
Yeah, Teeter 4 is his kid.
Oh. He has children.
Look at me.
We actually right haven't confirmed.
Right in the face. Look at me.
Yeah.
You think I could have grandkids?
It's not up to you.
You think I, Teeter Totter 3, could have grandkids?
Yes.
They didn't call me Trip because I was the third Trip Totter.
All right, Teeter, gotta go. Teeter, get.
It didn't stick.
No, it didn't stick.
I was Teeter from day one.
Yeah. Who tried to call you Trip?
My daddy.
Your daddy's dumb.
There was a lot of Teeters around.
Yeah, right, but Trip?
Trip, and he just tripped up.
I guess he can't call you T, huh? He
can't call me T.
Can't do that. That's tough. Yeah. What about Tot?
No. That's offensive.
Okay. Guys, let's get to the Wait What? As far as show, we talk about what in this few minutes. Go, wait, what?
I just want to point out, like, listen, I love the diligence that these guys are going through. They move so slow. From an efficiency standpoint, they are glacial, which I get it. They're trying to move and do things at Denver. But guys, they are now at the end of the movie responsible for even more.
Yes.
They were not keeping up with what they had before. That's
right. They got one letter out of a stack of 100 done, and they got all these other branches coming in now.
It's just, it does not bode well for them. For somebody who admittedly is slow and not very efficient. They made me look
Dude, if you were in the dead letter department, they'd be rifling through them. I'm serious.
It would be better.
Once again, great idea, not great execution.
Yeah.
The lack of organization or speed. I don't know. And I'm using all my weight what's before I even get to the segment. Maybe read the whole letter. Maybe start there, dummies.
Here's why I stand by the fact that they don't. Okay. In defense of this, I think it develops Oliver as somebody who is very much by the books until he's not by the books later on. And it's fine.
Exactly. Okay.
But he's
he's taking the law into his own hands. He only reads the letter until he thinks there's enough information in it. That is dumb.
No, you're wrong about that.
It's dumb and you loved it. Say it's dumb and you loved it.
Well, of course, everything's dumb and I love it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm concerned about Charlie in general. I get that he is in theory, a good guy.
I don't know.
But I'm not sure. No. I think he could be terrifying. He has known Kelly no more than just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't think I could do anything without you now, Kelly. Yeah.
That dude.
That's disturbing.
We don't have a What the Hallmark. And because we don't, we made an executive decision to not have What the Hallmark. We have a different segment. Just wait. You're going to hate it. I honestly believe that Charlie does not work in that building.
Yeah.
Like, my man met that dude on an elevator delivering something, and he's just going with it. He's going to shoot his shot.
Yep.
And that's what he did. He didn't have a job. He may have killed that dude. Who knows?
Who knows? But she's equally all in on that, and sure. Another one, if Kelly survives a year later and she stands on the bridge and he never shows up and she still loves him, like, would you not at least knock and say, do you remember the letter? Like, just in case something happened where it did, like, maybe it didn't get delivered. She's going all in. I mean, not only all in, she goes all in with a blog, with hints. Yeah. Like, and you can't tell me at some point she doesn't try to follow up?
But here's the thing. She doesn't go all in.
No. For a love that should last a lifetime.
She doesn't mail the letter. She gives it to her taxi driver.
It's another one. Like,
she doesn't. She creates a website, but does delete stuff. Like, I have to pay for a domain name?
No.
How much is love worth? I don't know.
Stick with GeoCities.
Let's just stick with the Blogspot. she kind of tries, but also really doesn't.
I just, like, for a love that's meant to last for the ages, according to our dead letter team, she could not have given more of a shrug to the last year of her life. She basically was like, nah. I mean, I'll just do a faint whisper of a try. That's all she does.
Yeah.
These two kids don't even have any chemistry. Like, I just
No.
It's bad.
No.
It is not good.
They had chemistry.
Who?
Charlie and Kelly.
Really?
No, buddy.
You
like them. Why are you changing sides?
No, I did
why
not
are
like
you
them.
Changing sides?
No, no,
he's
I never
got
said
to
no.
you. No, he's got
when
to
I
you.
Talk, here's where I disagree. Where I disagree with Dan. Dan said whenever Shane and Oliver aren't on screen, the movie comes to a halt. That's not true. The worst parts of this movie, however, are the scenes with Charlie and Kelly. Yeah.
And so here's what I'm saying about Panda. Panda loves to be very optimistic and all in on things. The idea of this show and Oliver and Shane and the other two nerds, that idea
is wonderful.
Panda is all in every chip on the table. The story is secondary for him. He's excited to watch. He wants to binge them all right now.
Yeah, I would. And
it's not about the chemistry to Panda. That's what it's about. And what I'm saying is that the problem is we got Charlie and Kelly for 35 minutes of this joint, and that 35 minutes sank like a rock.
Yeah,
bad.
And part of the problem, and this, I didn't mention this in my weight what's, but like, does she recount their entire day via letter?
Yeah, okay, look, we'll, like, by the time we get to me, I won't have any, and that is fine. She literally tells us the plot of their day in the letter that is a private letter to the man that she loves.
Do you remember the time you said this, and then you said this back to me, and then I said this?
No last names, and then we swing. we were on the swings, high enough for you to see the thing. And then we, get out of here. You're wasting paper and time of your life that may end shortly with recapping a day. Was this a homework assignment? Did you get assigned in 500 words or less? Tell me about your day with Charlie.
You guys are the worst.
No,
how am I?
Is the worst.
Come on, Brand.
Guys, I
even
love
you guys
it.
Admit that's next level. Guys, dumb,
it
dude.
Was just a tool to tell a story, and I'm fine with it.
Yes, it's a tool.
You know, maybe in a letter, maybe boys, maybe in a letter. Think about it. Maybe in the letter, she didn't say all that. They were flashbacks that we were privy to. Only
my
little.
Favorite part of that is like,
man, I
love
how
Oliver kept reading because the whole plot was in there. Had he stopped, they'd have been SOL. Good thing Shane was like, read the whole thing, you know, like normal people. If you were working a dead letter department, maybe read the whole letter.
You can't read the whole thing.
That is the dumbest thing
I've
ever
heard.
Can't
read the whole thing. It's invasion of privacy.
I stand by Oliver not reading, only reading as much as he needs.
My man has
got a whole
letter opener. He doesn't read but the sentence he needs.
If I can get what I need to.
If that continues postables, I got some hashtag postable comments for you. That's dumb.
Do you have any more?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Brandon. Good.
Man, that
I just took you down. We just took it down a notch, huh?
That swing set was wild, though. Can we agree?
That
swing set was wild. That's not meant for children, right?
No, that can't be.
Children would die.
Yes,
children would die on that swing set.
Yes,
it's stories high.
2013 was a dangerous time, though.
Teeter,
it was certainly not safe.
Is that why you
my line of work?
What was?
I'm the guy that tries out the zip lines.
Oh my gosh.
You heard it here first. Yeah. I try them out.
I really thought that you were going to do something with teeter totters.
Well, sometimes we connect zip lines from one teeter to one totter. Would not recommend it. It goes poorly sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you see me. There's scars all over the place here. You guys were kind enough not to say anything.
But again, the scars on your body does not matter when it comes to you, whether or not your son can reproduce.
Well, I'm not old. I don't look old enough for that.
Oh.
I don't, right?
Sure.
That's why I said, look at me. Do you read a book?
Sure. Sure. You don't look old enough,
Teeter.
Thank
you. Thank you, Brandon.
Sure.
That means a lot for a shy fellow like me.
All right, Teeter. How are we going, pal?
Teeter's out.
I mentioned the fact that she didn't deliver her own letter. That, when it's happening in the first part, but also one of my problems with that is she's starting to write the it starts with her in front of his house, like writing the address, like she forgot it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't you just hop on out and drop that boy band there?
Yeah. You think you could, Bran. But you know what? When I have a letter to the love of my life, it's the only letter he's ever going to read, or she, if it's me.
Sure.
I'm going to entrust that to my cab driver because he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah, you know what I think. And he wanted to.
He wanted to.
And he wanted to.
It was important to him.
His defense. My last one. And there is now a party out there that never got the balloons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
You know what? You when you're a kid, you remember when you were a kid and you sign up to bring something to a party? That kid signed up to bring balloons.
Yep.
And he recklessly threw caution to the wind and said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. How mad are you as a parent?
Mad.
We stopped. We got balloons.
A lot of balloons.
And you just...
Some kid decided to tie him to a letter.
Well, stick him to a letter. It's the gun.
Bad idea.
Oh, Dan? You got any?
I got a few left. You guys took some main ones. It is good to be back in White Hallmark. I will say that much. There are two people of color in this movie that get in line. One's a security guard. One's a cab driver. So we're firmly back in 2013, which was fun. This is more of just a COVID problem. I will say this is not a sign, seal, delivered problem. Sure. But they go on a picnic in this movie, and he's making her bagels with cream cheese, and there's a jar of capers, and he just digs his grubby hands into those capers, and he presses them onto the bagel.
Yeah.
He rips the bagel off with his hand and shoves a piece in her mouth. And it was a little disgusting. Like, I was a little put off by just all of that in
no
general.
Good, there's no good way to caper.
Yeah. There is not a good way to caper. That's accurate. But maybe just pour them out would be what I would suggest. Can we talk about this guy running in the park? Pure shade, all sunglasses. Not even trying to look like a runner. Hands outstretched like he's going to give a bear hug. Like, they didn't have a second take of that to make it look a little bit more inconspicuous.
Can I ask you that? So, was he on his way to the murder?
I just think he had planned the murder and then observed Charlie's routine and or was following Charlie that day and went, I got to look like a runner. So he puts his hood up, puts sunglasses on.
He couldn't have observed Charlie's routine because that whole day is out of Charlie's routine.
Not Charlie's routine. Like, he's watching it. Like, he's following
it. But he's planning to go kill his brother.
And he just decides, I'm going to grab this.
And so I'm going to try to grab his wallet.
Which also is like, that's last minute planning, bro. You're going to kill your brother that day and you're just going to, let me grab a wallet real quick.
Yeah. This guy looks like me. That's crazy.
But he literally is running like he's about to give a bear hug. It's preposterous. Kristen Booth, God bless you, because you have the unenviable task of seriously, with tears in your eyes in a prison room, looking across the table and going, sorry, Charlie. And I'm so happy I got to hear it. She says it in all sincerity. Sorry, Charlie. This Kelly says to Charlie, I can't remember now if it's in the letter or on the bench, but she's talking about when he in the future gets married and has kids and they come out to the park. She's like, when you get married and have kids, think of me. She basically tells Charlie, when you go and marry someone else and have kids with that person, think of me. That is what she says to him. That's bold. That seems like it's a little advanced for someone who's decided to let her cabbie mail a letter and then put a blog up hoping for the best.
Remember me.
Remember when you're having babies.
When you meet another girl and have her kids. Let's see. I get rid of the letter of Christmas. The last one is Jerry Polovich or Polovich, this lawyer.
I love him.
It was maybe my least favorite part of this whole
what?
Thing. Like, just try to make him a real lawyer, just a little bit. Like, I'm on the golf course. The bit that he loves deli sandwiches, I just hated everything about it.
How do you hate that?
Like, he's on a golf course. He's supposed to be in court in 30 minutes. He's still in the middle of a round. I don't know, man. Like, if you have this cool premise, just try a little bit everywhere else. That's all I'm asking.
Well, I think they're trying just fine.
Okay.
Maybe you should try more.
Okay. I could. I will.
Have you ever met an attorney?
I have met several attorneys.
I don't think
even
you have.
Public defenders.
Do they all like sandwiches?
No. They don't.
Name the one.
Mark, out loud. Mark Fessler.
Mark Fessler doesn't like sandwiches.
Correct.
That's bold.
No. Mark?
No, deli. So it's got to be deli sandwiches. Not like a peanut butter sandwich.
So he doesn't like deli sandwiches.
It's about deli.
Wait, he's not a fan of the cold cuts?
Not a big deli guy.
A pastrami sandwich sounds so clutch right now.
Dude, it always sounds
I'm
clutch.
I'm so hungry right now.
Me too.
Nom, 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 nom.
Congrats, pastrami. Guys. We did it. We're going to wrap up with our final segment, which is the post office worker of the week.
That's right.
It's where we spotlight someone who has faithfully served our country via the post office, federal worker. And today we have postal worker Samuel Larkinton.
Hey.
Samuel Larkinton.
How many years?
16 years.
16 years out of what branch?
Palm Bay.
Palm Bay. In what state is that?
Florida.
Palm Bay, Florida. Samuel Larkinton.
Yes.
Man, what's this? We ask him usually three questions, yes. Right?
Yeah. So we asked him, how'd you get started?
How'd you get started? Okay, go ahead. What's he got?
He actually sent in a clip.
He sent in a clip of that?
Yeah. Tracy interviewed them.
Tracy interviews them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Postal worker of the week. Hi, everybody. It's Trace with the postal worker of the week. I'm here with Samuel Larkinton.
Oh, Troy, it's so good to be here.
Hey, Samuel.
Just want to shout out to all my friends in Palm Beach, all my friends. It's a big honor.
Palm Bay.
Palm Bay and Palm Beach. I do both.
Yeah.
I cover both grounds, you know?
Yeah.
I get out.
All right, Samuel, I got three questions
okay,
for you.
Okay, these are my favorite three.
How did you get started?
Is somebody laughing in the background, Trace? I thought this was professional.
Samuel, how did you start in the postal work?
Well, I started off and I dropped out of high school and I was like, I got to get my GED. I went and got my GED. And then I started working. I started working full time and somebody came
What's
up to me.
What's the craziest thing you've ever delivered?
There was a postal worker recruiter named Timmy O'Houlihan. And Timmy came to me and he said, you can make double the money and have a pension for life with the U.S. Postal Service. You could be the few, the proud, the postal. And I said, I'm going to do it.
What's the favorite thing you've ever delivered?
Peloton bike. I lifted it with one hand.
No, you did not.
I did.
You got pics?
I got pics.
Last question. For someone who's out there is thinking, is the postal office for me? What would you advise you give them?
The post office is for everyone. That's what's the beauty of the postal service.
Thank you, Sam.
You know, I think that the clips were a mistake.
He said, I just want to be clear on this. He said, these are my three favorite questions. He hadn't even heard them before, and they were his three favorite questions.
That, was that the guy laughing in the back? Were you laughing at the clip? Is that what happened there?
I was laughing at the clip.
But he's then a big fan, and I think we recorded him out of order.
Yes.
He didn't know he was going to be first.
No, he didn't.
That was the thing,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's we did everybody. We did everybody. We're going to be back next week with more of it. Until then, maybe we're the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.